Hi, I'm Shoko. I listen to this and that. I really enjoy it.
You're the greatest.
You bet your sweet bippy.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Interesting. Things to ponder.
Things to ponder.
Please stand by.
It's the week of September 19th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Pat.
And you're listening to show number 30 of This and That with Jeff and Pat. Pat, it seems like we were just in the booth.
I think we were, for God's sake.
This schedule is going to be weird and kill us. Not kill us. It's actually very laid back, this new schedule. But we were just in the booth 3 days? No, 4 days ago, I guess. Something like that.
So, but this kind of screws us up because now we don't have our usual, so what'd you do this weekend? I mean, it was 4 days since I got together with you guys. Nothing exciting happened in my life.
But it's still, we're recording this on Sunday. It's probably going to come out Wednesday, if I had to guess.
Yeah, right. So this is a weird one.
Yeah.
This is a weird one.
They're all going to be like this,
no,
though.
No. But in the future, we'll record again on Sunday, and it'll have been a week since then.
Oh, right. That's true. So this is like a short thing. But we did have a weekend.
We did have a
weekend. And you're a single gal in her 40s.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you used that word.
You know, I'm loving that word.
I hate that word.
I'm loving it.
I'm gonna make some enemies now, but
gonna make me an enemy.
No, I'm gonna have to school my friends at the borderline.
Uh oh.
Improper usage of the word I.
Really?
Yes.
No. Oh, I do that all the time too.
Bad.
Me do that all the time too.
See? Bad.
me not speak so good.
when we go to the podcast convention in Ontario,
right,
there will be a dance-off, but there will also be a grammar-off.
Uh-oh. Hey, by the way, you and I need to make our travel plans. I'm probably going to book a flight. We'll talk about it later.
All righty,
so
bye.
We need to figure that out.
Whoops. All righty, bye.
All righty, bye. But anyways, I wanted to say this: the week of September 19th, which is tomorrow, is another birthday.
It is?
You know whose birthday it is? Mommy Dearest. Mom.
Oh, happy birthday, Mrs. Astrick.
Happy birthday to you. To my favorite mom. She is my favorite mom.
Does your mom know about that time you had another mom behind her back?
Shh. Thank God she doesn't listen to the show. I only was unfaithful to my mom once.
Is that when you ate another mom's cookies and you thought they were better than your mom's?
I never did that. That's blasphemy.
You were sitting there eating the other mom's cookies saying, my mom doesn't make cookies this sweet.
My mom never makes me cookies.
My mom.
I want a new mom.
My mom doesn't give me what I want.
This new mom is so exciting and fresh and new.
She does things for me that my other mom doesn't do.
You know, this is kind of starting to creep me out a little bit. maybe we should move on. I'm not feeling so comfortable.
Happy birthday, Diane.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Well, I want to mention some other while we're on birthdays. All right. We went to a birthday party last night for our friend Shane.
Yes, we did.
And I thought his birthday was this weekend, and I could tell when I said to him, what day is your birthday? He's like, you don't remember? I'm like, I stumbled into a friend relationship mine. I knew I failed the test. I didn't know. He knows when my birthday is. I don't know when his birthday is. His birthday was September 12th.
Okay.
My brother's birthday is September 12th, and Danny's birthday is September 12th.
Really?
Lots of September birthdays.
That should make it so easy to remember, right?
Yes, my birthday is September 23rd.
Of course.
And guess what? There's another person whose birthday is September 23rd. Dave Lobig, who does one of our columns.
Yeah.
Our only column.
Our only column. His
mom's birthday is the 23rd.
Oh, really?
Yes. So happy birthday, upcoming birthday, Mrs. Lobig.
Yes, happy birthday.
Hello, Miss Pat. This is Danielle.
And this is Neil.
And Lynn.
And we're calling to wish you a happy birthday.
Yes, Pat, happy birthday. And in honor of your special day, I have come up with a one-of-a-kind poem just for you. Pat, my podcasting friend, at the end of another year in your Libra lifetime, I wish you happiness, wealth, and wine. Happy birthday, Wonder Woman, from Neil at Borderline. Thank you.
So have a very happy birthday, Pat.
I concur. Let's see, I haven't prepared anything, but I'll sing a song. But everybody, see, when we did this for Danny, all the good songs were used. Like, we had the Sid Vicious birthday song and the Beatles birthday song. So, let's see. I'll go with an oldie but a goodie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pat the President. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, Marilyn. That was fantastic.
Fantastic.
And you know, I don't sing for just anybody, so.
That's true.
They got to have a sweet five spot to do that.
That's right.
We hope you party it up Borderline style on your birthday, Pat.
Woohoo!
And have a good one.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Mwah.
Hi, Pat. It's Charlie from Israelisms, or as Jeff would call it, Israelisms. Anyway, Pat, have a very, very happy birthday. And you thought that I would forget. Just remember, we're not getting older, we're getting better. Well, I know I am. And I think you are, too. Love your show. Love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
I can remember when I met Pat for the very first time. Studying math as I recall. Now she turns 30. Seems like she turned the same last year. Not sure she learned much math at all. Pat turns 30 one more time. Pat turns 30. Oh my mind. Pat turns 30. Unlike anyone, she never gets to 31. We're throwing a party, celebrating all the years she's had. All your friends are glad they came. We're all a bit different now, but in some ways we haven't changed. The number of candles stays the same. Pat turns 30 one more time. Pat turns 30. Oh my, my. Pat turns 30 unlike anyone. She never gets to 31. She never gets to 31.
Well, that's pretty exciting. Hey, we had a good time last night. Did you have fun?
I did have fun.
And Jose was in town from Panama, which was very nice to see him.
Jose is one of my best friends from like 15 years.
Yes, he was your, quote, date last night.
He was my date, uh-huh.
And you guys are doing something today. What are you guys going to do?
Run errands. Because, well, he's going back
He's probably got a lot of stuff to
he's
do.
He's going back to Panama, and now, you know, I'm sure his sister said something like, oh, they have this Lancome mascara that you have to go get. It's four times more expensive in Panama than here.
Right.
So my guess is we're going to be doing things like that.
Well, that's fun. It's fun to do that with somebody, you know.
I love Jose. He's so much fun, and we have...
I like him a lot.
He gives me advice when I don't even ask for it.
Do you like that?
I told you about that.
I know. Well, I saw a movie yesterday.
You did?
Before, yes, called 2046. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
It's an Asian movie made by, I think it was a Chinese...
Akira Kurosawa?
No, it wasn't Kurosawa. that's the only Asian director you know?
Yes.
Was not Kurosawa-san. It was... Very interesting movie. I saw it with Shoko, and it was kind of interesting because part of it was in Cantonese, part of it was in Mandarin. Actually, most of it was in Cantonese, and part of it was in Japanese.
Huh.
It was this whole...
And could you tell when they were talking?
I can tell. Yeah. I hope... I don't want to offend any Cantonese speakers out there, but the Cantonese is really obvious. you know, it's so distinctual. Well, the Japanese is very obvious. I love the Japanese language. Cantonese language, I don't know. It's just got an intonation that's a little bit hard for me to like.
What language does Wei Xing speak?
Mandarin.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cantonese is basically Hong Kong and Hong Kong, I think it's pretty much it. Maybe some parts around Hong Kong. I was going to say Macau, but I think that's, I don't know what Macau is actually.
I thought it was a bird. Oh, that's a macaw.
But anyway, this movie was very weird. Shoko and I talked a little bit about it afterwards, and she kind of said she needs to see it again because you go back and forth, one of these movies, you go back and forth in time a little bit, and it's a little bit science fiction. It's a little bit, I don't know. It's just hard to describe. It's almost like beautiful scene after beautiful scene. It's one of these very stylized movies. So they show like Hong Kong in the 60s, for example, and they've got, you know, a guy smoking cigarettes, this really cool hairstyles on the women with Nat King Cole in the background.
Hmm.
And it's like a trip to 2046, which sounds like going forward in time, and that's kind of the analogy, but that's not what at a certain point, 2046 becomes a room in a hotel that sort of all the little stories revolve around, and at other times it's like a time of day, and it's bizarre. But it's kind of we were talking about it afterwards, and I said, you know, and she felt the exact same way. I wish I had a notepad, because there's so many interesting things and ideas about love, about loss, and, you know, about kind of philosophical things that I just wanted to jot down. So not forget about them, because I wanted to think about them afterwards. And, you know, I forgot about them. I'm going to start bringing a notepad to the movies.
You can rent it.
Yes. Yeah. It would be a good rent. Good rental. Maybe we'll go see it again. So I recommend it. It's odd and it's slow at times. But it's a good movie.
Well, I think tonight they have the KERA member movie.
Oh, I never go to those.
I don't
either.
I
should.
But I think it's at the Inwood.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong. But I believe they're showing a movie about Bob Dylan.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
I want to see that too.
We have a malanga tonight.
Oh, a malanga. That sounds weird. A malanga?
Yeah, it's a group sex session.
Ooh, can I join?
No, it's where you tango.
Tango.
Like I said, a group sex session. Oh, no, we got to practice our moves, of which I forgot what I learned last Monday, and it makes me mad.
Uh-oh.
I did forget the steps. I'll get it back once he shows me what they are, but I just forgot. So anyway, that's been my weekend.
Well, you know, I didn't do anything on Friday because I had a very busy week at work.
Right.
And so I took the opportunity on Friday to take it easy.
Okay.
And then I ran a bunch of errands yesterday, and I had something bad happen to me.
What happened?
Well, I don't know if I told you this or not, but I was running a bunch of errands. I get home, open the door, and I hear running water.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me this.
And I thought to myself, okay, either there's somebody in my house or the toilet bowl stopper didn't, you know, float down and the water's been running.
The natural impulse is that somebody came into your house and is taking a shower.
Right.
Because that happens a lot in Dallas. People want to be clean.
So I go into the bathroom and sure enough, there's something wrong with the toilet, but I don't immediately figure it out. It took me, you know, 15 seconds, 20 seconds.
Right.
What it was, Jeff, was the tank was cracked.
Wow, you must have a heavy butt. No, I
don't.
I know it's the tank.
You don't sit on the tank,
I know.
Goofball.
Well, maybe you do. Maybe you have strange bathroom habits. How would I know?
So I flushed the toilet and then turned off the water, and then I pondered, what the hell do I do now? Because the man that I rely on for all my help isn't here for me right now.
That's your dad, isn't it?
My dad is in Italy with my mom.
Oh.
And they've been there for 2 weeks. They'll be there for 4 more weeks. So I pondered, what do I do now? I'm like, damn it, that's why I need a husband. I'm like, wait a second, I have a brother. So I called up my brother Joe, who is a terrific guy, and he came up with what I should do. And I did tell him, see, the other problem I have is that I have a small house, and I only have one bathroom.
Right.
And when I bought the house, the guy bought the house from kind of told me some information about, you know, if I wanted to redo the bathroom, I might have some difficulty finding the right toilet or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I was thinking, oh, this is going to, you know, I don't want to fix this problem right now because it's going to consume the whole weekend and this is a hassle. So I got some Gorilla Glue and glued it back in. And I also decided to use duct tape because I think duct tape should be used as often as possible, and then I duct taped it.
And it looks good.
Yes. I'm going to change.
Any man going into your bathroom is going to see duct tape all over the toilet.
They're going to fall in love with me.
And they're just going to think that is a do-it-yourselfer.
Well, so now is what I do is I make sure that I don't keep any water in the tank.
Right.
And then when I need to use the facility, mm-hmm. I fill it up, flush, and turn off the water.
That sounds convenient. So this is a temporary solution to get you by. But what are you going to do for the long term?
Well, as I was telling my other great and good friend, Kevin, about my problem, he told me that he just finished replacing a tank for his sister, and he had all the tools, and he could do it
wonderful
for me. So he's going to come to my house and help me.
Excellent.
I love men who can fix things.
There you go. That's men who can. I love women who can fix things.
Oh, you know, that's funny because in your house growing up, your dad didn't fix anything, but your mom did. And in my house,
right.
my dad fixed everything and my mom didn't.
Right. That's funny. Funny. Haha. My dad was always good at doing whatever mom asked him to do. Like, I need you to fix this and here's how. My dad would do it and do a good job of it. All right, we're going to continue from last week on the sex in 20s, 30s, and 40s. This time, I'm going to tell you about what this article says from the woman's point of view.
Because I didn't read
it. Sexual response.
Mm-hmm,
How come you didn't read that?
I don't know why. It was one of those, well, because, you know, I'm me. I know myself. I don't care about the other women. I was curious as what it was like for the man, what he wanted, and blah, blah.
Right. Well, they talk about a woman in their 20s as the F word. And the F word is not what you think it is.
Frigid? No. Funky?
Funkadelic. No, it's freedom.
Freedom.
So a woman's sexual response in the 20s, this article says, is one of freedom and a little bit of power, too. She starts to have the freedom of, because this article sort of says, you know, sort of before they get married, before they have kids. So they've got a lot of freedom to sort of sexually explore a little bit. And they also realize that their sexuality has a certain power over a man, and that makes them feel good. It just makes them feel attractive and powerful.
I don't think I ever
really
understood that.
You never felt that way?
Not in my 20s.
Okay. Well, then it goes on to the 30s, and it says, at this point, you know, when women are maturing, the big thing about the 30s, and I've noticed this in my experience with women, is they discover the big O a little bit better. They discover and they understand how to achieve the big O for themselves. And not only that, but this article is sort of pointed at people who are married a little bit, like assuming most people get married in their early 30s, mm-hmm. and so forth. And what they're saying is now all of a sudden their self-esteem is less wrapped up in the ability to be attractive and have that power over a lot of men, but it's more their self-esteem starts to come from work. And what it says is their understanding of their own bodies and that their self-esteem is coming from places that's just not in the bedroom or not in attracting the other sex, they're actually able to enjoy sex a little bit more because that sort of pressure is taken off. So they enjoy sex more.
That didn't happen to me either.
What happened to you in your 30s?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure I remember, But I can tell you that didn't happen to me. And I guess part of it is because, you know, I was working in my 20s, all
right.
of my 20s.
Right.
And I was not married. So, you know, that just doesn't sound like I was, like, it, that was not what my world was.
Right, right.
Anyway, carry on.
In the 40s, it's interesting. It says here, I'm going to read this, as your estrogen levels begin to drop, that sounds so sad, in the early 40s, it actually gives a rise to your level of testosterone. And what it says here, but it says here, many women get this peak in desire where they simply can't get enough sex.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting? I would have thought like a level estrogen levels going down would mean that you would desire it less.
No, 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 because it is testosterone, Jeff, that contributes to a man's high sex drive. So if women have it, it would contribute to a higher sex drive.
Oh, okay. So it gets replaced. So that's interesting. It also said, and again, this article does kind of tend to say a lot of women in their 40s, the kids are starting to leave the nest. So this is not exactly us, but it says because of that, women are not only wanting sex more, but now they have more time. And so this article says when they're in their 30s and the kids are young, they're making time to have quickies, but that's about all they're getting. They're enjoying it, but they're getting quickies. And now they said they can really put time aside and spend the 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon and do nothing but cuddle and have sex and so forth. So that's kind of coming back to them.
Hmm.
So that's kind of interesting. So the article is good, but I really think it's kind of geared towards, you know, people who've had the typical, I guess, experience of, say, getting married at 23 and having kids at 25.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I remember when I was first dating that guy, Dwayne, and one of the things he talked to me about was, you know, he brought up sex, and I was thinking, why are you asking me this? I'm like, do the women you go out with not want to have sex?
Huh.
And his answer was, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, how old were they?
Well, he's a couple years older than me, so uh-huh. I assumed he was talking about women either in their late 30s or early 40s.
Which is kind of opposite this, is saying their sex drive is actually heightened. Why wouldn't they want to have sex?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose, obviously, everybody's experience is different.
Maybe he
was going out with women that had bad relationships and they were out of practice with sex or they didn't enjoy it that much because their partner wasn't very good. And so they, instead of thinking, I don't enjoy this because my partner sucks, they think, you know, I just don't enjoy this activity and therefore they're not inclined to want to do it. I don't know.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I mean, I do remember like in the 20s, I remember fumbling around, you know, I mean, everybody does, sort of learning about sex. And I remember not really even being conscious or thinking that much about a woman's orgasm. And partially in a selfish way, in a 19, you know, in a being 22 kind of way, but also just being naive, you know. And it seems like there was a parallel in my experience with the women that I was going out with, that when we all got to our 30s, it just seemed like all of a sudden this, you know, Christian America sex is bad thing, all of a sudden it started to, you know, you say, hey, it's not, we've been taught that it's kind of bad not to be talked about it, but you know, you need to talk about it to have a satisfying experience. You need to talk about it a bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and learn about your body and experiment a little bit more. So that part, but it seems more common though between men and women, I think. So maybe there's more similarities and dissimilarities. I don't know where I'm going with this exactly. Sex, another comparison, sex thrills at 20, 30, and 40. And this is from a woman's perspective. When she's 20s, in the 20s, your idea of wild and crazy sex is anything involving planes, trains, and automobiles.
Oh, God.
The fantasy partner is Brad Pitt.
And yay!
And possibly Angelina, too. Now, Pat, your fantasy partner is Brad Pitt, so maybe you're really a woman locked in your 20s. The ideal morning after is exchanging phone numbers.
Oy.
The idea is that it's kind of fast, you know. Your favorite body part of his?
His butt?
His penis.
Oh.
In the 20s, it's the penis. And his favorite part, body part of yours?
Boobs.
Boobs. Okay, so now a woman graduates to the 30s. Her idea of a wild and crazy sex is sex on the bare floor of the condo you bought together.
Huh.
The fantasy partner is any guy chef on the Food Network. Do you get that? I don't yes. really get that. Okay. The ideal morning after, more sex.
Huh.
If you did it last night, the kids must be at grandma's. That's what it says.
Uh-huh.
Your favorite body part of his?
Butt.
Butt. His favorite body part of yours?
Boobs.
Boobs. All right. Woman in her 40s, your idea of wild and crazy sex is finally doing the thing that you swore 20 years ago you'd never do. That sounds like fun. Fantasy partner is Springsteen.
Huh.
I don't understand that, really. But ideal morning after?
Breakfast?
No.
Bacon and eggs.
Pancakes and bacon, because you know he loves your body as it is.
Aww.
Your favorite body part of his?
Butt.
Brain.
Oh.
So I'm going to do good with women in my 40s and their 40s.
Why? Because you have a brain?
Because I have a huge brain. I have a huge, massive, throbbing brain.
I think you have hydroencephaly.
What's that?
A big head.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, it's actually a disease where your head swells.
Yeah, I'm just kidding about that anyways. I just find it funny that they say brain. His favorite body part of yours?
But boobs.
Boobs. Doesn't change throughout the years.
For men.
For men. So that is, does that reflect your experience, Pat?
That what you just described?
In your 20s, you like the penis. 30s, you like the butt. 40, you like the brain. Why can't you have it all?
Yeah, why can't you have it all, huh?
Huh?
That's what I want it all.
Exactly.
Huh.
Huh.
Well, you know what I have now?
What?
Nothing.
Oh. What about that penis toy you were telling me about?
Oh. I don't have a penis toy.
I was sworn not to talk about that.
Won't do to dream of caramel, to think of cinnamon and long for you. It won't do to stir a deep desire, to fan a hidden fire that can never burn true.
So that article was saying that women appreciate a brain in their man.
Correct.
In their 40s.
That's correct.
So they did this study in the UK. They do all kinds of studies in the UK. They're studiful people, those UKers.
Yeah, but they study the weird stuff.
Well, this is what they studied. They did, I don't know all the details of this. It was kind of a short article, but basically they were saying that they've done these studies that show men have higher IQs than women.
Hmm.
And they did these IQ tests on 80,000 people.
That's a study I can dig.
Shut up. They do the study on 80,000 people. And I forget what the percentage was at 100. First of all, one of the things they said is that men have a five-point IQ, higher IQ than women.
Okay.
I don't know what that really means as far as, you know, how significant that is.
Right.
But then they talked about the number of men and women that have an IQ of 125. Now, since 100 is considered, you know, average, 125 is, I don't think it's 25% higher. I think it, you know, it follows a different distribution than that.
The bell curve. Yeah.
But so 125 is pretty smart. There, I don't know. I think it was like two men to every woman at that IQ level.
Wow.
At 155, 5.5 men to every woman.
I wonder why that is.
I wonder why that is, too, because, I mean, of course, I think going back to when we took statistics, if you wanted to, evaluate whether two means were different or not,
right.
Two samples had a different mean, you could have your null hypothesis of,
right.
of men and women have equivalent IQs,
right.
And then you can do your analysis and, you know, accept or reject the hypothesis.
Right.
Well, this article that I read, Jeff, didn't say anything about that. And this was just a blurb of an upcoming article. So perhaps they will be talking about doing some statistical analysis on whether, in fact, there is a difference in the means.
Yeah, with 80,000, is that what you said? 80,000
yeah.
people, they've got enough data to do that.
Yes.
You know, that statistical test.
But, I mean, just from its surface, doesn't it? It's something wrong. I mean, if men and women are equally smart, it seems wrong that there are 5.5 men to every woman at the 155. There should be the same number.
So here's what I'm guessing, and I don't know that much about the IQ test. I'm just guessing it's absolutely purely correct. From my experience, men are just so much smarter and better looking. No, my guess is actually that maybe the IQ test is good at training the kind of intelligence that men have. Because, it's clear in my mind that men and women are the same, but we have different things that we are very good at. Like, you always hear women are more intuitive. They follow pattern recognition better than men, that sort of thing.
Well, two thoughts on that. Number one is they've been making that comment about testing, intelligence testing, for a long time now. I remember hearing it easily 20 years ago. Don't you think that by now somebody could have figured out a way to eliminate that sort of bias?
Right, you'd think so.
And, there's lots of things that they can put out there for pattern recognition. So somehow or another, it seems like, maybe it's just too hard to make a test that is not gender specific. But again, if the IQ test is sitting there assessing sort of logicalness, then maybe being logical doesn't translate to being smart.
Right, that's exactly right. Maybe being smart means something else.
I don't really know. The other thing that I would like, so there are more men at higher IQ levels than women. What's the distribution at the lower IQ levels? Are there more dumb men too?
Yeah.
What about at 70?
Did it talk about that?
No, it didn't. But I'd be interested in knowing that too.
Absolutely. That's a full part of the picture. And again, they've got enough information. They got enough people. They got enough data. Why don't they share that as well?
Well, I will be on the lookout for this article in the future. And if I read it, I will, share all the gory details with the listeners. So we will go into the statistical significance and the confidence factor, all of those things. Excited?
We'll even run the ANOVA test.
Yay!
Because we're that nerdy. For those who don't know what ANOVA test is, why are you listening to this podcast? I'm just kidding. Does that whole study like make you mad?
It makes me mad. And no, it doesn't make me mad. What it does is I'm truly perplexed because I don't think that there should have been 5.5 men for every woman. I think it should have been, 1 to 1.
Yeah. But now look at it this way. If you want a genius, and I think you do, you have a better odds. There's more of them than there are of you.
Well, don't you remember that study that I also sent you where it showed that as men got smarter, they were more – as women got smarter, they were less likely to be married?
Yeah, I remember that from a while ago. Right. So go fit. Why would that be?
Because men don't want to marry women that are smarter than them.
Yeah. Interesting.
They want women who take care of them, not women who boss them around like your mom did to your dad. Just kidding. Diane, you didn't boss him around.
No. Well, I saw something in the news, Pat, that I wanted to share, and especially since it's from Italiano.
Really?
Crank up the Italian music, Jeff or George and the engineer. I want to hear some Italian music on this.
Come bella c'è la luna, brille strette, strette come butto belle.
A woman claims to have their, she was like in their 25, kind of depressed, and she went missing, okay? And a woman showed up, clairvoyant, she says. And she said, I know where the body is, right?
I know where the body is.
I know where the body is.
Okay.
Creepy music. And she did know exactly where the body was. It was in the middle of some lake in a car. And it was exactly as she said it was. And now the law and, it's gotten in the news. People are saying, well, she must have made a good, educated guess. All the information that was on the internet, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, very well, maybe so. I understand why people will, of course, be skeptical of, clairvoyant powers. But here's what I'm thinking, Pat. And have you ever watched Medium, a TV show?
Never.
It's kind of a similar theme, which I kind of like it, actually. But my thinking is, in the show Medium, and it's just like this, the police resist this clairvoyant at every single turn. And finally, at the end of Medium, every show, ooh, the clairvoyant wins. She was right. Wow, And my thinking is, if you've got this woman in Italy, she shows up and she leads you to the body and she says, I can help you with other cases. Why wouldn't you? It costs you nothing.
Well,
why wouldn't you? And Medium, the TV show Medium, they sort of suggest, well, we get a bad reputation. Ooh, people are saying you're relying on clairvoyance and so forth. But why wouldn't you use a tip?
Well, you know, this reminds me of a story that happened to me many, many years ago when I was a young woman. I was working on a project and used to have to go out to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with some guys at a company called EG&G. And, you know, one night I went out with one of the guys at that company. He said, I want to show you the Vegas that, you know, most people, that tourists don't see.
Hmm.
So we went out. I don't remember very much of what we did or anything.
Did it involve necking?
No. He was a nerdy engineer, and I was, I was his customer, but he was just trying to be nice. So we go out. The next thing I know, he's telling me about what he does on his spare time.
Oh.
In his spare time, he was a bounty hunter.
Wow.
Yes. He used to, he had another guy that he worked with. They would go try to solve various crimes. And there was...
He was a crime fighter.
They were doing it for money.
Right.
There was some building that was blown up, and they were trying to figure out who blew it up.
Wow.
And he said that they use psychics, and he said that the police departments do too. They'll use a psychic. I mean, you know, it's like what you just said. Listen, it may be a shot in the dark, but let's try it. It may work out, and it may not, but, you know, let's try it.
Okay.
But this guy was very serious into believing that people had psychic powers, and I was like, yeah, I don't believe any of that. And he said, you probably have psychic powers. I'm like, no, I don't. And he said, you know, you have to train them. I'm like, I don't believe it for a minute. And he said, there was a method of figuring out if you had psychic powers, what they were good in. Because he said some people are good at seeing faces. Some people are good at seeing buildings and things like that. So you had to be able to discover whether or not you had the talent and specifically what it was in.
Okay.
So he didn't hypnotize me, but he had me close my eyes. I was only 23.
I was going to say, man, this guy sounds like he's on the make. Let's go to the Vegas and places no one knows. Let's close your eyes.
He did have me close my eyes, and he talked me into some...
I need you to take your top off.
He's talking me. And, you know, I forget exactly what it was, but, I mean, I found it fascinating.
Huh.
That because he was an engineer, he worked at this highly sophisticated company in a very sophisticated position.
Right.
And there he was, believing in psychic stuff.
There you go. I'm skeptical of it all, but I do, you know, there's a lot of stuff we don't know. I'll leave it at that. We're, you know, we engineers follow science.
Science.
Science! But, you know, there's a lot of science, obviously, that you don't know. I mean, I shouldn't say a lot of science. There's a lot of theorems and proofs and phenomena that we have no idea, you know, about. So that's all on the table.
Anyway, that's very interesting.
Yes, it is.
I wonder what the distribution of psychics is in men and women. Like, are there more women who are psychic or more men?
That's a darn good question. It seems to be women, always the ones that, like, are the at the trade at the sh- not trade shows at the shows at the carnivals, you know, reading the palms, the crystal ball, right?
Does that mean that women are more susceptible to believing things that sound hokey?
I think so.
Or that women have skills that are untappable by logic?
I think my guess is that they're at carnivals and things are attracting customers by a little bit of sex appeal. You know, the old...
Come on.
Classic, oldest sales technique in the book.
I don't know about that.
Really?
Speaking of which, I mean, soon we've got the state fair coming up.
Yes, we do.
I can't wait.
I don't go every year, but it's fun to go every now and then. I'll definitely go.
I want to go this year. We didn't that last year.
Let's go this year.
Yay.
We're going to have fun. Let's podcast.
Yes.
We'll podcast live from the fair. When is that? Do you know?
End of the month.
End of the month.
This month.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Already?
Yes. It's around the corner, baby.
Wow. And I want to get tickets. I think I said this in the blog. I want to get tickets this year to the Red River Rival.
I got no idea what that is.
And you are so clueless. That's the big Texas OU weekend. You've heard of that.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. So they play in Dallas because halfway between OU is in Norman and Austin.
Uh-huh.
It's a big event.
Huh.
Do you care?
No. What game are they playing?
It's usually quite a good game because usually, most years, those two teams are very good. I don't know what sport it is.
Yeah.
Some sport. I think it's water badminton. You're such a goof.
Huh. I know nothing, I see nothing, and I say nothing.
Well, there's another phenomenon that I did have to just pass along here, because I think this is crazy. Did you read about this? Kids are passing out, going for these asphyxiation highs, and they're dying.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this a Darwin Award type thing?
It's a phenomenon. The scariest thing is it's not really a dumb Darwin Award thing. It's a phenomena that maybe some people can call our phone and you know, if you've got kids or if you have heard of this influence. But apparently, you know, the press does make things bigger than they are a lot, so I don't know how much to believe. But apparently a lot of kids, like at age 13 to 16, sort of that early high school age, have been experimenting with this. And what they do is they asphyxiate each other.
They what? They asphyxiate.
Asphyxiate each other until they really can't breathe anymore.
Are you sure they're not fixating on somebody's ass?
Maybe they're fixating on a mathematical problem. That used to give me a high. Yeah, math. And apparently this causes a great high. But people are doing it by themselves. And, you know, like,
and there's nobody to revive them when they've choked themselves to death.
So there's death.
That's interesting. I wonder how they're doing it, because I remember this is going to be very gruesome. So if you're sensitive, you may not want to hear this. But do you remember hearing about that guy who they recently captured? I think his name is Dennis Rader. He was known as the BTK killer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I watched a show about him, and he talked about how, this is the gruesome part, the first time he tried to strangle somebody,
uh-huh,
it was a lot harder to strangle than a person than he thought it. And so he got a ball so that he could squeeze it so that he'd be able to more efficiently. So it seems like you couldn't asphyxiate yourself. Well, that it just would be too hard.
I should look at my notes. I was wrong about the age. Apparently, this is between ages of 9 and 14, middle age.
Oh, my God.
And early high school. I guess I was right about that. They also call this practice, they call it blackout. They call it funky chicken, space monkey, flatliner, tingling, and suffocation roulette.
Wow.
Kids
do so much more fun things today than when I was growing up.
We didn't have space monkey.
This is what we used to do. We used to take your hand and lock it around your wrist,
uh-huh,
pump your hand up, and then let go, and you could feel all the blood.
Oh,
rush
we did
back
that in. Too.
That's yeah, what we did.
We did that too. We also did the, I think we called it, again, I don't mean to offend anybody, Indian burn.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I remember that. That was fun.
Let's give each other Indian burns.
Kids today do so much more better things.
I want funky chicken. Okay.
God.
They choke themselves with belts, ropes, ties.
There you go.
Their own bare hands, or in the case of Kimberly Wilson, a bicycle chain lock, to deprive their brains of oxygen and get a drug-like high.
Wow.
Apparently, there are two parts to the experience. First, the high is when there's lightheadedness due to reduced blood flow and therefore a reduced flow of oxygen to the brain. The second part is the rush that comes with the removal of pressure on the chest or neck. And this releases a powerful surge of dammed up blood through the carotid arteries into the brain. So there you go. Kids do it to one another or to themselves. It's particularly deadly, obviously, when they do it alone, because there's no one to make sure they, you know, get through it. So it's a 5 to 10 second euphoria. Can we do it? I want euphoria, baby.
I don't know. I'm so glad I'm not a parent. If I caught my kid doing that, I think I'd slap the shit out of him.
Well, I remember 10 or 15 years ago, I read about cases, and I'm sure people are doing this now, where they do the adults, where they do the same thing while they're masturbating, right? And to get this double orgasm plus euphoric high. I've only done it twice.
It's just disturbing.
Oh, our dog friend's back.
Yay!
Yay, we missed the loudness. It's not Pat's dog, this is the dog next door. You hear the music, Pat?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's time for a Dallas Minute.
It's time for a Dallas Minute. Notice I didn't say the big, you know,
thing
that I always do. Can I say it?
No.
Okay, I won't. Sure?
No.
Okay. I have a Dallas Minute.
What is it?
Went to a new restaurant last night.
Uh-huh.
This is also before the party.
Wow, you were very busy.
We were productive little beavers.
Okie dokie.
Productive little beavers. What the hell does that mean? We went to a restaurant called Al Abir. And this is on Greenville, North Greenville, between Park Lane and...
And Penny Lane?
And Walnut Hill. Huh. And Penny Lane. Penny Lane, there is a Arab restaurant. Anyways, it was a Lebanese restaurant, and it's kind of a... It's a restaurant, and it's a nightclub. But they have two different entrances, and it's really funny because the entrance for the nightclub looks like a nightclub entrance. On the corner... They have the restaurant entrance, and it looks like a restaurant entrance. So it's kind of funny, but it goes to the same space. And apparently it gets sort of changed up as the diners go away. And so we had a meal there, and
we got
there pretty early, so it was all restaurant. It was pretty good. Yeah, the reason we went there is because it was written up in the Dallas paper, and it was good. I had shawarma. Remember shawarma from our Israel days? I had a shawarma. We had hummus. We had some Lebanese sausage. She had some, what are they called? Spinach.
Dolmas?
Spinach pie.
Oh, okay.
And we had one more thing. Oh, we had some falafel, of course. I gotta have the falafel. Falafel was really good. I didn't feel they gave us enough hummus, so we ordered another thing of hummus to go along with the... With the falafel, basically, and we didn't get through all the hummus, so maybe they gave us the appropriate amount. I was getting paranoid that they didn't give us enough. But again, it seems like a little selfish on the hummus side. I don't think hummus is that expensive, so I don't understand being light on the hummus. But it was good.
How expensive was it?
Not too bad. I can't remember what the bill was because I never remember these things, but I don't think it was that bad.
Hmm.
And we had ordered a lot. They have belly dancing, Pat.
Ah.
At 9:30 and 11:30 on the weekends. Obviously, we were there early, so we didn't go to see the belly dancing, but I think we ought to get a group going there and go see the belly dancing at 9:30. It'd be fun.
That might be fun.
Yeah.
Occasionally I think about wanting to belly dance.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
It seems sort of fun.
And I think you'd look cool about belly dancing. I do.
I just want the sparkly bra. Well, my Dallas Minute is related to an activity I did after the party last night with Shane.
Really? What did you do?
Jose and I went to Nikita, which is a restaurant in...
the West Village.
Yes, in the West Village.
After the party last night? That was late.
Yes, we went. We were there at 1 o'clock.
You guys are young and frisky.
Well, it was quite the young crowd, to be honest.
Oh, of course.
And the music was very loud. And we went downstairs and we ordered, I got a Cosmo and I also got one for Jose.
Okay.
$11 a piece?
Wow.
Annoying.
Were there a lot of beautiful people there?
They were, not really. There weren't ugly people there, but they were very young. Now, here's what happened.
Did the beauty quotient go up or down when you guys came in?
It went up, baby. I would have to say this was something that the crowd was too young for us.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter.
Especially at 1 o'clock in the morning, let's face it.
I don't know what he was thinking, but we get up there, and here is something I would have to say that I kind of enjoyed, is that when I was in my 20s or 30s, being in that type of bar, I would have felt very self-conscious.
Okay.
Wouldn't have felt like there were any guys that were looking at me.
Right.
And I would have been feeling like all I was going to experience were moments of rejection, and I would have been uptight. I would have gone, but I would have been uptight the whole entire time.
I've always been the same way. It's like, I can't go up to these girls. I'll just get rejected, blah, blah, blah.
But so I'm standing there, and I am absolutely completely relaxed because I'm in there sort of thinking there isn't a single guy in here that's looking at me, and I don't care because they're all too young.
Cool.
But there was a guy who was looking at me.
I'll bet.
And he was about 20, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, what are you looking at?
What are you looking at? young man?
So he's looking at me, and I just decided, well, I'm going to stare right back at him. I'm going to, I practice this technique with my dogs. I stare them down. Let me tell you, they look away. And
what kind of expression, though, did you have when you stared at him?
I was smiling.
Okay.
So I'm smiling, looking at him, and then he says to me, "What kind of drink is that?" And I said, "It's a Cosmo." And he's like, "Oh." And then I decided to do another semi-freakish thing just because. I said, "Would you like to taste it?" And I kind of pushed it, not completely under his face, but, like I was serious that, I was like, "You don't have to come into my space to get it. I'll make it easy for you. I'll right out of here to tempt you, little boy." And he tasted it. And he was like, but he was pretty drunk. But I was looking at him and thinking, like, wow, 20-year-old boys look really super young.
Did you should have thrown in a couple young mans in there. did you like that young man?
Anyway, I would
You're
have
a fine looking boy.
I would
Your
have
Your mother must be proud.
I would have to say that Nikita's is still pretty hip, you know. I like it.
Yeah.
It's loud music and it's kind of you know, I don't know what kind of music it is, but it's not country and western, I know that. And it ain't rap. More dance music. It was nice.
Maybe I'll have to take Shoko.
Yeah, I bet she would like it.
I bet we'd have fun.
Hmm. Anyway, so that was my Dallas Minute.
All right. Well, that's your Dallas Minute. All right. Well, I think that's going to do the show today.
Do we have to go?
We have to go.
Why? What are you going to do the rest of the day?
Go. Shoko and I have plans.
Alrighty, well, good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
I'm happy that you're happy to hear that.
I have plans, too. Plans.
Plans, baby. You're going to run some errands. So.
I'm planning to be psychic.
Thanks for listening to the show this week, and give us a holler at 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255. Or email us at jeffandpat@thisandthatpodcast.com. Pat can be found at patandthisandthatpodcast.com. And Jeff can be found at Jeff in this and that podcast. Are you going to help me at all with this?
No, I'm not helping. I'm going to let you do all the heavy lifting.
And what else do we want to say? Derek, get well. You still hanging in there doing well. Sounds like we're getting good news from,
good.
From Derek's skepticality. It sounds like it's going good. So
that's great.
Yeah, let's hope for continued progress there. And I guess we'll be talking to you next week.
Have a great week.
Have a great week. Enjoy yourselves.
Bye-bye.
Bye.